Welcome to the audio podcast of The Table at Central United Methodist Church. The podcasts currently feature the messages of Matt Smith and Linda Dew-Hirsu.
With a musical introduction by Brendan Lowe, our director of music. Thanks for listening.
Speaking to the crowds and to his disciples. The scribes and the Pharisees sit on the Moses' seat. Therefore, do whatever they teach you and follow it, but do not do as they do, for they do not practice what they teach. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on the shoulders of others, but they themselves are unwilling to lift a finger to move them. They do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long. They love to have the place of honor at banquets, in the best seats in the synagogues, and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have people call them rabbi. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all students. And call no one your father on earth, for you have one God, the one in heaven. Nor are you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant, and all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted.
I wanted to attribute this story to Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And so I read a lot this week looking to try to find a place where Bonhoeffer would actually have said this. And it turned out to be a fruitless task for me because I couldn't find it anywhere. And so I was with a small group of pastors on Thursday and I was asking everyone, this is the story that I've been told. Where have I heard it? And everyone just kind of stared at me. So I believe that a wise person shared this one time. But I am not wise enough to remember. Linda wants credit for it. I'm not wise enough to remember who that person actually was. But I'm going to share it anyways. So there was a young person who wanted to follow in the ways of Jesus. He enrolled in the best university and set off from home to read and learn as much as he possibly could. He spent every moment there in the library. He was dusting off and turning page upon page, and one of his professors was a wise old priest, one who had seen many years. This was often the case in the days of old that priests were the professors. The young student of that priest and that priest, they crossed paths in the library. And the young student looked out over the rows and rows of books, looked down at the schedule of classes that he was going to take, and with longing shared with that priest that he was going to find the ways to follow Jesus, to become Christian, somewhere in the midst of all this. And the priest waited and then quietly responded, "If you want to follow Jesus, pick a small village out far away from here and find the parish there and go and live there. Do what those people do. Grieve when they grieve. Celebrate when they celebrate. Live how they live. Love how they love. And then in a few years, come back. And if I'm still here, we can break bread and talk together about what it means to follow Jesus." Last Sunday, we were blessed. I was blessed to witness the baptism of 9 adults and 6 children. These are folks who longed to come to the waters and become a watermarked people. And my hope is that for the people who took this next step on their journey, that this is a beginning, not an end, but a beginning to how God is moving in their journeys and in their lives. I know that many of us in this space have not been baptized, and our hope is that as we continue this morning to gather around these waters, that this is a safe place for all of us to consider that next step in our own life and to discern if or when we might be called to those healing waters. See, baptism happens one time in our lives, and then we spend the rest of our lives living out that baptismal covenant. And so for those of us who have been baptized, and some of us who are baptized as children have shared that they wish they had been baptized as adults. And so it's a task of us as parents to share the story of baptism with our children over and over and over to help shape them in those same waters. And then we come together to renew. And the way we do that in our particular community is to come together every fall to renew our baptismal vows, as we did just moments ago, and then to place our hands in the water and to be marked with the sign of the cross to remind ourselves of the watermarked people that God has made us to be, and then to move out into the deep waters of God and to live that out. And we do that here in our community by sharing our deep commitment cards every year, by reflecting on where are we in our relationship with God and where is God calling us in the year ahead. See, we want our intentions, the way we hope to be and the way that we are in the world, to line up. That's our longing as followers of Jesus, is to have some continuity and consistency between those things. And I think that's something to what Jesus was getting at in the Gospel of Matthew as he was speaking here. He said he wants the people to do as we say and as we do. And Jesus, to put it mildly, was really frustrated with the people around him because they were not doing this. They were the scribes and the Pharisees, as Matthew's gospel declares them. They're religious leaders, and Jesus is furious at them. This is no soft, sweet Jesus walking in the fields with the children along. This is angry, frustrated at hypocrisy Jesus, looking at the people around him, seeing that what they're saying and what they're doing isn't lining up. They don't practice what they teach. And he lays it out in three ways. First, they put all these cumbersome burdens on people, how you should live your lives, a myriad of rules and standards and directives. And that whole process, as Thomas Long says, easily degenerates into moral bean counting. And Jesus wasn't going to have it. He was not going to allow people to feel that burden of all of those rules and regulations. And at the same moment, Jesus believed that those around him were more concerned about appearances or what was on the outside than what was on the inside. And so it's odd language for some of us, or at least it is to me. I don't know, maybe you talk like this. They make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long. When I read that, I'm like, what in the world is going on right there? It's a garment that people are wearing. And the intention around it, unlike when Linda and I try to wear our stoles around the sacraments, the intention is to help remind ourselves of the season for these and the love of God that surrounds us as we move through the seasons of the church year. In their time, this was a way to remind ourselves through what we wear of God and God's love and how God longed for us to live in the world, but it had become a fashion statement. So that's why the phylacteries are broad and their fringes are long. I think of it like this. You remember those WWJD bracelets? It's like if yours was so big, you couldn't even like move your arm. It gets pulled behind you. That is what Jesus saw when he saw the people around him. That's what they had on. It was this focus on the outside, and it repulsed Jesus. It really did. And finally, they wanted to see themselves or be seen as superior. So it sounds simple. They wanted to be called rabbi, but it's another word for Lord. So if everyone will call me Lord, please. They wanted the best seats. Yet Jesus calls his followers to be servants. And so he was turning that paradigm upside down. And in contrast to it, Matthew was offering a sharp image of what a community could be. They took the law seriously, and they held it in this simple form: love God and love your neighbor. All of that down to love God and love your neighbor. That's the kind of community we hope to be here at the table. One that reflects those simple yet profound hopes of Jesus for us to love God and love our neighbor. So we try to keep our process as simple as we can. We try to let go of the inane rules. And we try each year to return to how are we doing with that? We are human and we stumble. We turn away. We need to come back to God in those ways. And so we do that. We want to let go of our ego needs to be recognized by other people and to live that life of service. We want to practice our faith in humble ways. In short, we want to love God and love our neighbors. And the ways in which we try to do that here at the table are to root our lives in grace and to grow in faith and to reach in love and to give generously to the things that we're most passionate about. We want our intentions and our actions to line up. So it's easy when we look at Matthew's gospel to think, those Pharisees and scribes, they're like ultimate hypocrites. They didn't even practice what they preach. I've got it figured out. I think it's a dangerous temptation in our time. I think we see expressions of Christianity that mirror that all around us. Some of us have been hurt by it so much that it can be hard to walk in the doors of this sanctuary because we're certain that while this place says all means all, it's not really going to be true. And so it can't be me. It can't be us. So we're tempted to talk the talk and not walk the walk. But to be honest, in our particular community, what I think is an even bigger issue is the opposite of this. I believe that we tend to connect with people who long to quietly walk the walk, but find it difficult to talk the talk. See, we desire to practice our faith in everyday lives, but talking about our intentions or sharing with other people the deep commitments that we're going to place up here, that seems a little scary. That produces anxiety. I want to just be the quiet one that goes unnoticed. So we recognize that by asking all of us in this room to make a deep commitment to God and one another, we're asking us to do something that's difficult for many of us. And it's in part why our celebration of baptism was so powerful for me last week, because 15 people decided that they were going to publicly take a next step and they were going to say yes back to God's unconditional love and yes for them. And they were going to come here to the waters to do that, to be shaped in God's healing love. And this morning, we have an opportunity to do the same, to make a public witness about our intentions and our hopes for the year ahead and how we long to live them out. And I am profoundly grateful that so many people have found this to be a community in which you long to take that next step. Not that you always know what it is, but that you long to take it in this place. One of the ways some in this sanctuary have been rooting their lives in grace and growing in faith these last few weeks is by adding "You've Called Me Higher" to your playlists. I've heard at least like 6 or 7 people sharing that this is now part of their everyday ritual, their prayer. They don't always say it in that language, but this song is on over and over on their playlists. Eleanor is singing it back to us, that and "Wade in the Water," because that one's about me, Daddy, because it's about children. That one's about all of us. And so is this one. "You Have Called Me Higher" is the song, and we've changed it to deeper to help us in this worship series. But I want to share how that song begins. I only wish I could sing it like Casey. I could just sit and wait. I could just stay right where I am. I could hold on to who I am and never let you change me from the inside. I could be safe here in your arms and never leave home. Never let these walls down. But you have called me deeper. You have called me deeper. We believe that God is calling us deeper into the waters of baptism. Certainly we could just sit, and some of us may. We could hold on. We could be safe and never let walls down. But God calls us out into that deep, just as Jesus moved to the River Jordan and went ankle deep, and then knee deep, and then waist deep, and then was immersed. Immersed in those waters from deep within, Jesus heard, "You are my beloved, with you I am well pleased." And that is God's message to you. You are God's beloved child, and with you, God is well pleased. And this morning, we're going to take a moment to reflect together on how God might be calling us deeper as beloved children into the ways of hope and healing and baptism. We believe that this practice that we share can help us move more deeply into the waters. And we know that some of you have completed these deep commitment cards. One of you this morning said, I completed this 3 weeks ago and I've been walking around with it. Do you want me to just keep it with me for the rest of the time? And no, we don't. We want you to share that. And we want you to make it as an offering. And so we're going to take some time to move through that card together. And then we're going to have an opportunity to share those commitments here. We know some of you have completed these online and we've tried to pass them back out to you. Some of you might, well, if your handwriting is like mine, we would love for you to do it on your phones right here as we are in this space together. I want to take a second. If you don't have a card with you and you'd like one, Jill is in the back. And if you just raise your hand, Jill will move around and make sure that everybody has one. We want to encourage families to fill these out individually and then to talk with one another about those financial commitments that impact your whole family. We know that some of you are here for the very first time and you are so not ready to make a deep commitment. And that is okay. That's okay with us. That's good. We hope that you'll take this time to reflect, though, on how will you root your life in grace? How do you want to grow in faith? How will you reach in love? And what are you so passionate about that you want to share your financial resources with? And I think those are questions for people in our community or beyond. These can help shape us in the ways of God. And so we're going to take a few moments, and then our musicians are going to move through a song to help us do that. I want to say, though, as we do this, on the front of this, I'd invite you to share your contact information. To think about how you long to root your life in grace. That could mean when you're in town, you want to be here in worship. That's a commitment that you want to make. Or maybe part of that is a daily prayer that you have. Our daughter is 5, and so part of my commitment is every time that we gather for a meal, I want to pause to express gratitude so that we can become a people of generosity and a family of that. And so maybe that's one of your hopes or intentions. On the back side of the card, you'll see some more invitations to think about growing in faith and reaching in love. I'm not sure what that looks like, and it's not going to look for you exactly like it does for me or the person next to you, but I hope that you'll spend some time with it. If you haven't been through Blueprint, that could be a place that you want to grow and you want to join us this next time. For me, one of those ways is accompanying Eleanor in godly play by asking her questions about the stories that they heard today and that they experienced. It might mean going deeper in your kitchen table. Maybe you have some walls up that you need to let down in your own kitchen table, or maybe you've drifted from one of those. And maybe your invitation is to return to that place or find a new kitchen table to grow in faith with others. And then finally, reaching in love. This could be something formal, like in the back. You'll see a place. I saw this morning there was a person who was getting out of her car. I think she made several trips with huge packages of diapers. And you see Christmas gifts that are already lining up back there for teen moms and their children through Planned Parenthood. And maybe your commitment to reach in love is to take on one of those families. Or maybe it's really specific. Love your neighbor means your actual neighbor, the one that you have a really hard time loving. We don't know what that looks like for you, but we hope you'll spend some time reflecting on that and write some of those intentions down. Finally, our invitation is for you to give generously. It's through the generosity of people who've gone before us that we're in the beauty of this sanctuary right now, that we get to gather together and be a people who says God's bold dream is that all means all. And we want to try to live that out in all of our own brokenness. Their generosity has made this possible, and ours might make it possible for future generations to come into this space and find a word of healing as well. So if you've never made a gift before, our hope is that this will be the first time for you to do that. Or if you have, that you might extend that generosity to help us meet our obligations for this year and then sustain that next year. Or if you give as a basic percentage of your income to try to go even further, to extend yourself even deeper in that way. our musicians are going to move into this song. And I want to close back where we started with that young person who was going off to school, trying to leave everything behind to try to find faith. And that wise priest who looked out on all of those books and ways that they could be and said, just go and live this out in a community. Live it out for a year and grieve when they grieve and mourn when they mourn and love how they love. Break bread as they break bread. And then if I'm still around, come back and we'll talk about what it means to be Christian. May we follow in those ways. May we become the kind of community, the kind of place for those seated here and those who have yet to find us, that we over the coming weeks and months and years could be a place that we all might deepen in our commitments and in the ways that we follow Jesus. I invite you to take these minutes as our musicians sing to reflect on your own deep card, to pray if you've already completed it, or to write if you have yet to do so, and we will continue in worship.
I could just sit, I could just sit and wait for all your goodness, hope to feel your presence, and I could just stay. I could just stay right where I am and hope to feel you, hope to feel something again. And I could hold on, I could hold on to who I am and never let you change me from the inside. And I could be safe, oh, I could be safe right in your arms and never leave home, never let these walls down. You have called me deeper, you have called me deeper, and I'll go where you will lead me, Lord. You have called me deeper, you have called me deeper, and I'll go where you will lead me, Lord. Will you lead me? Will you lead me?